Welcome to the Aviatrix Book Review Writer's Room. The following is a writer's talk with author Patty Bear on her writing journey, her path to publication, recording her audiobook, and promoting her new memoir.
To save for later, you cannot trust it to come again. To wait for you to find a pen and fill the paper with the message that it wants.
Hello, welcome to the Aviatrix Book Review. I'm Liz Booker. My guest today is a former Air Force and recently retired airline pilot, and she is the author of the book From Plane to Plane, My Mennonite Childhood, A National Scandal, and An Unconventional Sort of Freedom, which will be available on February 23rd. You can find her on her author page on Facebook, which I will link in the description. And now I want to shift into a deeper discussion about the mechanics of your writing and publishing this book, just for our other writers who might be interested in doing something similar. You did a little about the author piece for me that I posted on the website. It looks really good, by the way. But just tell us a little bit about your writing journey. I love this story, so share it.
Yeah, so I suppose you could say I got my writing start when I was, a young teenager. I think maybe it was 10th grade. I'm trying to think what year exactly it was. But so we were, our family, as I had said before, we were in the national news, and it was searing. And people had this idea of what was going on, so much so that they wrote us letters telling us what terrible people we were, my mother and us six children. And so these letters would come into the mailbox, and every time they did, I fumed. It was just so unjust. You know, we were living on the run and we were being called terrible people. So at one point I had one too many, and I was like, oh, I'm done with this. And we had grown up with this turn the other cheek. You were always supposed to turn the other cheek, you know, forgive and forget. And I was like, nope, no more. So I sit down and I write this letter, and it was respectful, but I told this lady everything that had happened. I was like, here's what happened. Here's what happened. Here's what happened. And the story that you're hearing is not the story that is real. And it sent it off, and never expected to hear back from her, because my father's fans were just kind of immune to facts. And so I sent it off, and I did, like 4 or 5 months later, I did hear back from her. And that was really important in my life. And then later, so I didn't write a whole lot more other than for, college and that sort of thing afterwards. And I would write these little snippets trying to figure out, trying to process my experience, like in the military and the treatment of women and that sort of thing. And so the next thing I wrote was a letter to the editor for USA Today. And there was this case in the news of this executive getting a divorce from his wife. And they were worth about $80 million. And she was to get $10 million. And so this was at the time that there was a great deal of talk about traditional family values and how important it was for the woman to be in the home. So I write to this editorial, and I'm like, listen, if this is really as important as you believe it to be, she should get half. You know, what is this thing of $10 million should be enough? You either believe it's valuable or it's not, and they're a team, and then you should split it half ways. So I wrote that. Then I wrote a letter to, we had a contract, a union contract at the airline coming up in 2000. And I wrote a letter to the negotiating committee because we didn't have any paid maternity leave at all. I already had my two kids. I wasn't going to have any more, but I just thought this was something that needed to be changed. And so I spent about 3 weeks crafting this letter. You know, how could I talk to a group of men where, about an issue that only affected 5% of the population. So I wrote that. And then the next major thing was the book House of the Sun on parenting, and then this one.
And you kind of found a source of power in that.
I did. It was a way of speaking up, and it was, it came out of this culture where women really weren't supposed to speak up. And I had a need to speak up. That's one of the things I realized in life. You know, I mean, I think we all do to some extent, but justice is really important to me, you know, justice and fairness. And it was important to take a stand on the record for myself and also for others.
I see a lot of parallels with what Erica Armstrong did with her book as well. Like, you know, just taking the power back. You've been silenced and oppressed, and that's what your abuser wants. And you kind of take the power back when you drive the narrative and you share the story from your perspective. So I really respect that.
Yeah, you really do. You take the power back. And I would also say that when you do that, abusers don't like that, but it is good for them. It is healing for them to have boundaries and to have, because their essential problem is that they can't regulate themselves or they choose not to.
That's fascinating. That's really fascinating. So did you, when you were developing your writing, did you take any classes? Did you just, do you read a lot? Like, how did you get to the point where you felt confident enough about your writing to put it out in the world?
So I wrote a lot. Over the years, I would write snippets about things that were going on culturally. I read a ton. In terms of preparing specifically preparing for memoir writing, I read a lot of memoirs because I wanted to see how they structured it. And mostly I focused on memoirs that had something similar, some similar background to mine. So they were, they might have a trauma background. They might have a religious background. I read books on memoir writing, structuring, things like that. And then,
do you have a favorite craft book on memoir?
I like anything by Natalie Goldberg. Of course, she wrote The Artist's Way and she has a book, anything by her. But I read a bunch of other ones as well too, and just tried to see how people structured memoirs because there's, you know, so many different ways.
So how did you publish your first book? Was it self-published or traditionally published?
So I self-published that one and I self-published my memoir as well. I did that for specifically the memoir. I did that for a very specific purpose. I probably could with the exposure that it had previously, I probably could have pitched that to an agent and found interest. But for me, it was really important having our story was told by someone else repeatedly for years. And so it was really important to me that I tell my story the way I wanted to tell it without worrying about the commercial value of it. And in fact, I wrote the entire thing and I told nobody in my family, except for one sister, I think, until it was completely written, because I have a people-pleasing background and I was worried that I would write it to make other people feel good. And I was like, no, I want to write my truth. I want to, you know, what is it? And I wanted to have the space to explore that and figure out what it is that I wanted to say. And I was afraid that if I went the traditional publishing route, I would lose that creative control. And it was just important to figure out what it is that I wanted to say and to be able to say that.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. I think that's amazing. And I can totally see that. Like, you know, I'm writing fiction and I know that I'm going to give up some creative control at some point and I'm going to have to make decisions about where my boundaries are around that. But it's fiction, you know, so I don't mind changing it. This is your, like you said, your cathartic exercise of telling your truth. You don't need somebody else's hands in there.
Exactly. And they don't know what your message is. You know, they don't know what it is that you want to convey. And, you know, I still had to get rid of stuff. You know, one of the things about a good editor is that, and I, you know, as I said, I hired a professional editor. Is that they look at what doesn't fit and they say, you got to throw this out. And, you know, you may be attached to those things, but I think, and particularly as pilots, you know, we know that process. It's like, okay, you know, okay, th- that's just the way it is. You got to throw it out. So,
how did you find an editor? Like, what did that process look like? Where do you start?
So I started, for my first book, I didn't have any idea what I was doing. I didn't even know what the process of, self-publishing was. But I knew that I needed to get, professional editing because, grammar and punctuation were not my favorite topics. It was a class I hated in seventh grade. And so, there was a temptation to wait until right until I got, I was like, should I take a class and should I get better at that? I was like, you know what? I'm just going to write. I'm going to let an editor clean it up. So how I started, I initially started on Elance, I think, and I got an editor. And she was either an English major or she was getting her master's or something. But she didn't have, she was lovely. She was wonderful. And she didn't have you need someone who's going to tell you, you can't do this. This doesn't work. I went in search of someone who was going to do a cover designer. And I found this woman who I still work with, who is just amazing, who does this sort of one-stop shopping. She just has all these talents and she does the book cover. She does the formatting and, which is just lovely. And she does a professional editing. So I went to her for a cover designer and she was, then she looked at it and she was like, it became apparent that it needed to be re-edited. So, and then I worked with her and have just loved her. She's just been amazing. So that kind of a roundabout route to find my way to my final editor.
And then you recently were working on the audio book where you are actually reading and recording. What does that process look like?
Oh my gosh. That has been a rather onerous process. A lot of stops and starts, a lot of trial and error. So I recorded the entire thing, which took me a couple weeks. And my son helped me edit, do some of the editing for it. And then I found a class online where the guy talks about the technical aspect of editing. And also I ran this by someone.
Is that an ongoing class that like somebody could just, was it recorded that somebody could just sign up for it? Maybe you can give me the link and I'll put it in the description for everybody.
You bet. I'd be happy to do that. And then the other part of that trial and error process was that I sent the audio. Why I didn't think to do this first, I have no idea, like a sample case, but I recorded the whole thing. And then I sent it to my editor who does a lot of work with in these other groups as well. And so I just sent it to her. I'm like, what do you think about this from a professional standpoint? Is this okay? She was so nice. But what I really admire, she had the courage to come back and say, no, she said, it sounds like you're reading. She said, you need to sort of dramatize this a little bit. And so I went back and re-recorded the entire thing and getting the
so it's like you edited. We're pilots, we were in the military, you're taught to speak in a very monotone and straightforward way and to start to build inflection into your voice and be dramatic. It feels so weird.
It feels so weird. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Well, I'm interested to see how it turns out. So that's still a work in progress. Are you finished?
So I finished recording and then I have my son and my son was a film major and a friend of his was also a film major in college. And they are actually doing the editing with the help of this course. Because that, I was like, that's not really my wheelhouse. So I'm getting help with that.
And then you're just about to launch. What does that look like for you in terms of like how I've seen you on some news channels. You did that interview with Onward. Thank you for talking with me because I'm really excited about the book and excited to get to know you. But how are you? Like, what's publicity look like for you? How does that work?
So I hired a publicist. And that was another reason for not going the traditional route, is that I understood that unless you were, and I could be wrong about this, but I understood unless you were already a well-known person that they didn't do much publicity for you. So I thought, well, I can subcontract all this stuff. I know how to do it. And if I'm going to have to do the publicity anyway, then I might as well do everything myself. But so I hired a publicist, and what they do is they create a pitch, and they have they create a series of pitches based upon your book. They read your book and they pull out what are the things that people might be interested in. And then, of course, they have contacts. I don't know technically how it works, but it goes out, it's disseminated. And I've had all kinds of people respond to it. Some of them that I was kind of surprised that they were interested in the story. And so I've done podcasts. My publicist calls me the radio queen, because that's kind of, that's just where I've ended up a lot. Sometimes writing articles, you're asked to write articles. And tomorrow I have an interview for the New York Post.
That's fabulous. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you. So did a photo shoot on, I had to laugh. I did a photo shoot on Saturday, and we did some inside my home here and then some outside. And I thought, oh my gosh, people are probably wondering, who is she? Like, she's some kind of celebrity or something. It felt so weird. You know, it's like you talk about dramatizing things and you feel weird. I was like, yeah, really? It's just, you know. But so I did that. Should have an article coming up in Business Insider. And so those are the kinds of things that a publicist can do for you.
Yeah, that's great. Like thinking outside, you know, I'm trying to do that right now with with our collective work. You know, I think understand the landscape of within aviation, where I need to go with it. But now I'm looking at other places to kind of draw a broader audience to our collective work. And that's great. And just, this will probably be old news for this year for people, but for the future, I signed up for this Women in Publishing Summit. It's an online summit that actually starts in March, March 1st to March 8th. And it was very affordable. It was like $100 for 8 days of content. And they've already done some pregame content. And I sat in on a great little hour about promoting your own work. And I was just listening to you about how your publicist pulls out portions, like little vignettes from your story. They had like a little sort of Mad Lib exercise for you to do to create narratives around your story. And they were very funny about how, you know, we're writers. We know how to tell stories, but sometimes I think the name of it was how to promote yourself and your book without feeling gross. You know, sometimes we women feel a little awkward about self-promotion. And so this was a way to sort of separate yourself from it by telling a story that would draw people in and make them. So there are a lot of resources out there. You could hire somebody to do it. If you're going to do it yourself, it's worth taking the time to get some training on how to do that and brainstorm and think about different ways to do it. And then also connect with your other women writers in aviation, because we all have an audience that's interested in reading. If they read your story, they very likely will be interested in reading another story about a woman in aviation. So cross promotion too. I just want to promote that.
No, I think that's really important. And I mean, you think about, isn't that what happens like when you go into Amazon and you buy a book and they say, well, if you like this book, you might like these books as well.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that Amazon's algorithms particularly cater to our specific interests. So we're going to have to do some of that work ourselves. And hopefully the website will help with that too, having all of us in one place for the audience that has any interest in anything about aviation, military history, fiction. I mean, we have everything on there. So I'm really excited about it. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
I wanted to talk about a memoir a little bit, if we could.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry. I started to lead us in that direction. And then we got onto another topic. So go deeper.
So I just want to say, you know, and this sort of relates to promoting as well in a roundabout way, is that it's your story, but it's also about something bigger. And so for me, memoir is essentially about telling a truth, essentially an emotional truth. And it's about telling something that, and often like a hidden truth. And so, yes, it's my, like I tell my story, but I was always very aware as I was writing that it was also hopefully to catalyze people to readers to learn something about their own story. Some emotional truth. Maybe they shared the same experience. Maybe they had a wildly different experience. But I think memoir is just such a, it's just such a wonderful genre because you can learn about life. You can learn about the processes of life. You can learn about yourself, through other people's story. And, you know, isn't that what happens when we listen to stories? You know, maybe we see, oh, that person could do it, so I can do it too. Maybe we feel comforted. We feel less alone. You know, somebody else went through an experience of addiction or grief or childbirth or something. And we're like, oh, I'm not the only one. And so, it's just such an all-encompassing genre that, I love it.
That really ties into sort of my my little crusade to get the women, especially those like you who are coming toward the ends of their careers, to consider telling their stories, because everybody's story is unique. There's something interesting in everyone's story. And all of the things you just said, like as a junior woman flying, I felt very isolated, trying to make decisions about, you know, family planning around my career. And I didn't have access to anyone. And I was inspired by that to create access to the people coming behind me. After my first child, I had a child before I became a pilot. And then I had a second one early on in my aviation career. And then I had my third much later. They're all 10 years apart. I was busy in between. But when I had that second one and I had gone through it in such an isolated way, I was kind of annoyed. I was like, you know what? There are other women who have done this. Just because I'm not stationed with them doesn't mean that we shouldn't be connected. And so I reached out. I cold called all of the women in the Coast Guard. And I said, hey, would you be willing to write your stories to put in a book that we could provide to the junior women so that they don't have to do this alone anymore? And they said yes. And the first time we did it, we had like 9 or 10 stories, because that's all there were of us. And then 5 years later, we did an update and there were 20 of us, you know, and we were only 8% of the 1200 pilots in the Coast Guard. But, you know, just the idea of sharing your experiences. So you ladies who are retiring or have had, you know, you have some space in your lives, hopefully later in your careers, your kids grow up or whatever, and now you have the time to reflect. And especially our women of color, because the options for books with those examples are so limited, and we need those stories. So write your books.
And I echo that 1,000 times, because that's why, for people who are nervous about writing, you know, you and I love to write, but not everybody does. And so I tell people, just write, let somebody clean it up. If you don't like it, or let somebody ghostwrite it, because the thought of, you know, women and I know women that you're like, oh gosh, please tell your story. And please don't, please don't let it get away, and don't let anything stand in the way of that. You know, just write it, and, you know, don't wait until you're a perfect writer or something. Just sit down and begin to write.
Yeah. So I have a couple things about that. So there are many ways to share your story. You know, we are in a digital age where you can do all kinds of things to tell your story. You're getting on the radio because you have a book. People are on Instagram, like right now, who younger women who are in training, they're sharing their stories that way. But there is something about the permanence of a book, you know, the longevity of it, more than what happened in the news yesterday or what was posted on Facebook or Instagram today. So really considering that. And, you know, I agree with you that if you're only going to write, you know, if you're going to write your memoir and that's really like your masterpiece to the world, then yeah, just tell the story however you can get it out there. If you have other stories you want to tell, it might be like I did. It might be worth the time to invest in, you know, whatever level of collaboration you need to learn what you need to learn. For me, it started with workshops, and then I decided I needed more structure and wanted to get far deeper, and so I chose to pursue a master's degree. But that's because I'm writing fiction, and that was a whole new world to me, and I hadn't done that in my life before. Not everybody needs that level of time investment or anything, but you know, there are just many ways. There are many paths to writing, but the number one path is to sit down and write.
You know, that is so true. And I don't just want to discourage anybody from improving the craft of writing. So yeah, you're right. It is important. It is important to do that as well. But like you said, the number one thing is just sit down and write.
Well, thank you, Patty. This has been so fun. I'm so grateful to know you. I'm so grateful for your story. I can't wait to read the book, and I can't wait to talk to you more in the writers group. It's awesome.
Oh, and likewise. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. Please like and subscribe wherever you listen. And if you're a woman writing in aviation, please join us in the Aviatrix Book Review website, Writers Room, and in the Aviatrix Writers Facebook group. Help it grow just like it was born to be. Come, 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 come.